Good morning. So today's passage is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And in that passage, when we read, we see one of the characters of God. And that character is called holiness. And within the churches these days, people don't want to talk too much about holiness because people think it is such a big burden to connect ourselves with God, who is so holy and so pure. And there are two meanings of holiness. Number one, it talks about the moral purity of God. But that is just a small portion of the holiness. The bigger meaning of the word holiness is something which is set apart, something which is different. The best example I get in my mind is I see there are a lot of married people here in our congregation. And how many husbands are here, they have forgotten their marriage anniversary here? No? Nobody ever? Okay, they are not daring enough to actually acknowledge in front of the congregation. But we have, yes, somebody's pointing to somebody else there, I can see. Thank you. But you know how dreadful it can be when you forget somebody who is close to you, if you forget somebody's birthday or your marriage anniversary. Why? Because that particular day is like any other ordinary day for most people, except for the family, except for the couple, because once upon a time, they have decided that on this particular day, we are going to get married, and from then on, that day becomes very holy. That day is set apart. In other words, it is not an ordinary day like any other day for them. For everybody else, it's an ordinary day. For everybody else, it's just February 3rd or October 3rd. But for somebody, it is a very, very, very important, precious day. And so that day has been set apart for that couple, that family, to celebrate, to remember their union, to remember the blessing God has given to them, the birthday they had in the past. There are places in the world which are set apart, right? This building is like any other building. There isn't big deal about this building per se, but when we come here, we expect to meet God. Amen? We want to connect with God. We believe that God will reach out to me either through the music, either through preaching, either through the communion, either through having conversation with somebody else. But there are so many ways that God can reach out to me when I go to this building. And therefore, this building is a holy building. Therefore, this building is a set apart building. There are places, dear people of God, in our houses. Those are set apart. I have been to many houses here in the congregation, but none of you have ever taken me in your bedroom. Why? Because, again, that is a very, very sacred place for us. And so there, we connect with one another. There are places in our houses, the dining table, particular chair, where we open the scripture and when we read the scripture, and there are times when we are going through sadness, we have wept in that chair. There are times we have found some great news. There are times when we had such a great conversation. And so, yes, the whole house belongs to us, and whole house is a sacred in some way, but that particular place in the house is a holy place, is a set apart place. And so, dear people of God, when we talk about God's holiness, we consider that God is a set apart, that God is not like any other individual we connect with. God is not like every other friend we have. Yes, God is our friend. Yes, God is our father. Yes, God is our creator. Yes, God is our mother. Yes, God is our best friend. But then there is something amazing about God. And so it prompts us two things. Number one, it should create a tremendous respect, the way we have such a respect for this building. As I said, this is like an ordinary building. But since what happens here, Since what God had done here in the past, this is a sacred place for us. There are sacred relationships we have. There are sacred individuals we have. There are sacred dates we have in the year. And those are set apart. Those are precious to us. For everybody else, it's just an ordinary day. But for us, that's the day when we met God. That's the day when we met our partner. That's the day when we celebrated the birthday. That's the day we heard this news or that news. That's a precious time. And so, dear people of God, as we come to God's temple, as we come to this place, I want us to remember that. Amen. God's name, Yahweh, in the Old Testament is so precious that most Jewish people, they would not even write that name. So often when you will read a text, you will see that they will write G and then there's a dash and then they will write D because they don't want to write even a whole God's name because it is so holy, it is so sacred that they would consider that I'm not even worthy to pronounce that name. In the past, when they would do translation or when they will write a script on the Old Testament or even New Testament, every time the word God would come, they will have to go and take bath and they will come and they will write God. And then again, there's a God in two lines and they would do it the same thing again because again, that is so sacred for them. And sometimes, dear people of God, it grieves me that how often we take that precious name of God so lightly. We would not treat that particular day that lightly, right? Because if you forget the anniversary, you know that you're going to get it for next whole week. Your children will not forget for the whole year if you forgot their birthday. We consider that so sacred. How much more sacred, dear people of God, that name of God has to be. And so I strongly encourage us as a people of God who consider themselves disciples of Christ to treat God's name with dignity and respect. The way we treat our name with dignity and respect, the way we create or we respect the names of our parents. It's such a sacred name. You know, in India, I come from a culture that every morning when people will wake up, especially the children, they would go and bow down to their parents. And every time when they would call their name, they would use the word G behind. So Papa G means Daddy G. There is a respect to that. In the past, even in America, in the Western world, there was this idea of sir, right? Daddy sir. In Korean culture, there is always, they would use the word nim. So moksa is a pastor and nim is their word, respecting word for that. Samo nim, Samo is a pastor's wife and the nim is that respect. So if we respect ordinary human being that much, how much more, dear people of God, we have to respect and give reverence to our God. And so in the scripture today, we will read the holiness of God and how the prophet Isaiah, who was a prophet of God even before this particular incident took in his life, but from this time onwards, he is a totally different person. And as Austin is coming reading scripture for us, I want us to be attentive to listen the scripture for us, please. Thank you, Austin.
The scripture today is Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on his throne, high and exalted, and his robe filled the whole temple. Around him, flaming creatures were standing, each of which had six wings. Each creature covered its face with two wings, and its body with two, and used the other two for flying. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy! The Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world." The sounds of their voices made the foundation of the temple shake, and the temple itself became filled with smoke. I said, "There is no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful, and I live among a people whose every word is sinful. and yet with my own eyes I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the creatures flew down to me, carrying a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with the burning coal and said, "This has touched your lips, and now your guilt is gone and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? Who will be our messenger?" I answered, "I will go. Send me."
Thank you. So we are going to ask five questions from the scripture and try to understand this particular passage. And so I have a PowerPoint here. And so you need to find a partner for yourself because you are going to have that conversation. Amen? So with whom you have never talked, find somebody to talk. And so the question and answer are right there. So the first question, what was his obstacles to see God? So can you ask your partner this question, please, whoever your partner is? Okay, and the partner can answer the question right there. The earthly king became an obstacle to see the heavenly king. Okay, I know you guys are so confused, so let me help you out here. So, in the scripture, we see that when King Uzziah died, Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "I saw the Lord." In the year when King Uzziah died, "I saw the Lord." You know, we all know there could be only one king in a kingdom. How many of us know that? If there are a few kings, then we have a problem, right? There could be only one king, and I think what was struggling for prophet, because this King Uzziah was actually a good king. In fact, he was the last good king in Judah. He was a good king. And most of the prophets, they had a very difficult time with their kings because many a times king would not follow God's law. Many a times king would not be a just king. And often the prophet's responsibility, as I think Edith was telling us, to go and give them a bad news. And the bad news usually were that you are not following God. You are not respecting God. You are not caring for your people. You are not a just God. So the message were usually bad news. And so therefore, the relationship between prophets and kings were really, really not good. And often, prophets were severely persecuted during the times of the king. However, when it comes to Isaiah, this King Uzziah was actually a good king. And so they had a good relationship with king and the prophet. And so in other words, life was really, really, really good for prophet Isaiah. He had a place in the court. He could go and reach out to king anytime with a message. And king was actually ready to listen to the prophet. In fact, every time when they would have a struggle, every time when they would have a question, they would actually go to the prophet and says, "Prophet, can you talk to God on behalf of us?" And then prophet with such a privilege would actually spend time with God and eventually come with the answer. And things were really, really going well. Now, of course, this prophet must have remembered that in the past, other prophets were not treated as well like he's been treated. And so life was really good for prophet Isaiah. And in some ways, he is a God's man and he was maybe talking to God, but really, the other king, the earthly king, was kind of in the place of God in his life. And dear people of God, how many of us have that struggle? How many of us have other earthly king in our throne, and therefore the king, the eternal king, God, cannot be in that throne? Because we have already somebody there in place of God. You know, there is a scripture which Jesus says in the gospel that you cannot serve two masters. How many of you remember that? Either you can serve God or you can serve money. Because it is possible that as you serve money, as you try to get more and more money, you would need to spend more and more time with, you know, making money, You might give up some of the church services, and you might give up some of the work you need to do for God, and because you are driven for money, and therefore you are neglecting God. And sometimes when you go for God, sometimes your money part might suffer. But in other words, saying that there could be only one king on a throne at a given time. And for Isaiah, that throne was occupied by Uzziah. And now he's dead. And now there's a turmoil in the kingdom. Now there is so much worry now. Who is going to take his place? What kind of king we will get? What kind of president we will get? And there's a turmoil in the kingdom. There's a turmoil in the land. And I think that's where I think Isaiah seriously goes to the temple seeking after God. And that's where he finds God sitting on the throne. And so, dear people of God, what is that place? What is that individual in your life? What is that thing in your life which is occupying God's place in your life? And sometimes it could be as simple as television. And sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes that could be as simple as Facebook, that we would spend hours on the Facebook, and when it comes time for prayer, we have very little time for prayer. So that king doesn't have to be a huge, gigantic king. It could be as simple as Facebook and television and games we might play online or people we spend time with. That those things, those individuals occupy our attention, and there is emptiness when it comes to God. You know, I remember a story about my friend. When he came to Christ, we all want to grow in Christ, but he was such a good cricket player. And so cricket is like baseball in America. And so every Sunday when we're supposed to have a youth group, he would be called to play cricket by some of his friends. Because he's such a great player, everybody want to have him in their team so that they could win. And so every Sunday at 1 o'clock, around 12:30, he would have this struggle. Shall I go and play cricket or shall I go to youth group? And cricket is not bad. Actually, it's good for you. It's good for your health. It's good for so many things. So there isn't anything wrong with cricket per se. But then he had to make that choice every Sunday. Like, shall I go to play cricket or shall I go to church for a youth meeting? And one day he decided that I am not going to play cricket anymore in my life. Because he realized that I cannot have this constant battle within myself. And somehow, I kind of almost said, God, you're good and all that, you're blessing me. But guess what? Cricket is powerful too, actually. And I might actually sometimes leave you and go after cricket. Sometime, God, I might leave you and go after Facebook or television or whatever it might be, dear people of God. And so let us consider ourselves this morning. What is that place? What is that thing occupying you and me this morning? Let's go for the second question, please. Okay. Ask to your neighbor, what did he see? And the answer is, the heavenly king's glory was beyond his imagination, and he realized that God is holy. That is the vision was, right? When he saw God on the throne, he realized, like, well, I was crazy after this earthly God. I was crazy after these small things. But guess what? These are the gift of God. But when I come to presence of God, that's like, wow, that's beyond my imagination. Yes, my earthly king Uzziah has his glory. There are people around him. There are, you know, nice things around me. He has a great food and all that. That's great for him. And I was so occupied with that small stuff. But when I actually go in the presence of God, that is my beyond my imagination. Like, wow, how stupid of me to miss this for all this life, for all these years that I wasn't getting this, what I supposed to get it. How many of us have missed God's amazing glory, God's amazing blessings in our life because we have ran after cricket, like my friend. We have gone after other stuff, small stuff, nice stuff. There is nothing wrong with it in per se. But compared to God, compared to God's holiness, compared to God's goodness, compared to God's grace to us, it's nothing. And again, I have done that. I have experienced that in my own life. Remember, there are three times the scriptures are telling to one another for eternity that holy, holy, holy. The other group is saying holy, holy, holy. In other words, they are constantly reminding one another, guys, if we have to forget everything, let it be. Let us remember that our God is not an ordinary God. Our God is a holy God. Think about it. They are, for eternity, they are reminding one another that our God is a holy God. And as they do that, actually, they are having fun. They are having a great time. They are enjoying God's constant, continual presence. Often people ask me that, Rajiv, what do you think about heaven? What's going to be in heaven? And to be frank with you, I don't know a lot of details, but I know one thing, that God's constant presence is going to be there. And when God is going to be there, somehow our lives are significantly going to be enriched. Amen? It's like our loved ones. When we're with them, we just are having a great time. It doesn't matter. We are on the beach. We are at home. We are at the church. It doesn't matter where we are. Just being with our loved ones brings so much joy to us. And think about God being perfectly pure and loving and kind and gracious. When we are in that relationship, we can spend eternity with that. And so that's what these creatures are feeling. What's the third question, please? What did he know about himself in the light of God? Please ask to your neighbor. Okay, and what's the answer? He realized that he is a man of unclean lips. His best was the worst in the light of God, and his worst could be the best in the light of God. Now remember, he is a prophet, right? What does prophet do? They speak, they talk all the time. Sometimes they talk more than we want to hear, right? Like pastors, but that's what his job is. His job is to speak the word of God. That's what he did in the past. And every time, I think, when he prophesied, every time when he talked about God, there might be people around him like, whoa, man, that's so deep. Wow, man, you are so wise. Wow, you're so spiritual. Isaiah, like, wow, I didn't know that you actually have that connection with God. You're so tight with God, I had no idea. And so he must have been feeling good about himself, and especially any of his body part, he must have been thinking like, what an amazing mouth I have. Like every time I speak, something amazing, wonderful comes out of it. But then when he was in the presence of the Lord, he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I am the man of unclean lips. In other words, what I was thinking the best about me actually is the worst about me. Wow, I was thinking I'm a really handsome and a righteous guy. But again, when I go in the presence of God, I realize like, wow, nothing like that. You know, when I save in the morning, once in a while, because my glasses, I cannot save while I'm still wearing my glasses. So I have to remove my glasses. And then sometimes the light in the bathroom is not that great. And so I save and then I look myself and I'm like, whoa, Raji, you really look handsome this morning. People will be so happy to see you at the church this morning. And then I go to the other mirror. And there's a better light. And then I put my glasses and guess what I find out? Raji, you got to go back and save again. Because you thought everything is fine on your face. Guess what? There is significantly something is wrong with you and your face this morning. Because I did not see myself in the light. I just saw myself a little bit in light. And a little bit with clarity, but when I see myself in the clarity and I realize, wow, whatever I was thinking about me is all wrong. And I think that is exactly what Isaiah is feeling, that whatever I was thinking about me was exactly all wrong. And so, dear people of God, may I encourage all of us to compare ourselves with our God and not with one another. Because when we compare with one another, somehow we always come good. You know, I know we have a little bit extra time, but I'm going to tell this story because it's my favorite story. You have heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. So, you know, I remember a story about two brothers. And so both of these brothers were really, really not good. But one of them died. And so the other brother comes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, can you do funeral for my brother?" He's like, "Sure, I can do it." He says, "But like, as you do funeral, remember somehow to let people know that my brother was a good man." And pastor thinks for a while. It's like, that's going to be a tough one. But like, well, I can do it. And so on the day of funeral, there everybody's together, and you know, this person is there, and pastor tells her, "We know the person who is lying here, he'd never been to the church, he hardly gave any money to anybody, he was so selfish, he fought with everyone he met, but compared to his brother, he's still a saint." And often, we are like these two brothers, right? If I compare with anybody else, I might come out better than somebody else because I am comparing with somebody else. But let us compare ourselves in the presence of the God. And so what's the fourth question, please? What did God do for him? Ask to your neighbor, please. And what's the answer? Amen. What a tragedy it would be, dear people of God, that I only see there is a flaws on my face and there is nothing I can do about it. I have to live with that. It would be a little bit difficult and tragic, right? The good news is that I can go back to bathroom, I can save again, and I look better. But more than that, when God brings our guilt and our shame to our notice, there's always a wonderful news for us. Amen? God will wipe our sins. God will wipe our shame. God will wipe our guilt from us so that we will be cleansed and we will be renewed. We will become righteous once again in the sight of God. And our blame, our sin, our transgression would not be counted against us anymore. And for some people, like, "Oh, that sounds so easy." And guess what? It is that easy. Especially in the country where I come from, people would go extra mile. They will spend years and years to somehow get rid of the shame and the guilt they have gathered in their life. And when they hear this simple good news, like, "Yeah, Suraji, you just pray and everything is clear." Yes, that's what Bible says. And for them, that's not that easy. But as a believer of God, as a believer in Christ, that is such a wonderful news for us. Amen? And so, dear people of God, I don't know what struggles are you going through this morning in your life, but I encourage you to bring those before God. And as God did for Isaiah, God will do the same for us. God will wipe our shame, our sin, our guilt, and we will become a righteous in the sight of God one more time. And what's the last question, please? Turn to your neighbor, please. And what's the answer? Who will go for us? That's the question God asked. And Isaiah says, "God, here I am, send me." Every time, dear people of God, let me tell you that every time when we go in the presence of God, these things happen. God reveals things about us. And some of them are good things and some of them are wonderful things about us. And second thing, God always challenges us to do something about it. Right? And every time, dear people of God, that should happen when we come to church, that every time when we go from here, we have to go with the challenge that what can I take from here and what is God's message for me? What I got to do for God this morning? What I got to do for God this week? How God is going to change my life about it? In other words, if you come to church and if you go just as you are, I think something wrong is at the church. In other words, nothing actually happened. You just did your duty and you feel a little bit good about yourself and we go back just as we are. No. Every time when we come to church, every time when we meet with God, that has to have something which we can take. Like Isaiah, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, God. I've been already your prophet, but guess what? I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to be a different prophet from this time onwards." And let it be that this morning as we go from here, that you would be a different person. Amen? Even considering the God's holiness, that God, I'm going to be a different person. When I think about you, I will make sure that I will not utter your name unholy from my lips. That's going to be changing my life. Let it be that I am going to give the message of your hope and your love to other people. Let it be that I'm going to send this young adult information to somebody so that they might be able to get connected. Let it be that I might volunteer for some cause. I might change in some ways because I have experienced you this morning. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you for your wonderful presence in our lives. We thank you for who you are and how you invite us to experience you like Prophet Isaiah, the way he saw the vision of you and he realized that you are a holy God. You are not an ordinary individual like he has been experiencing. You are separate. You are somebody who is different than everybody else. And when it comes to you in relationship with you, Lord, you need to be treated with respect. And Lord, help us that as we come in your presence, as we connect with you, as we consider you as our father and mother and our friend who are so deeply connected with you, but then also there is a deep respect toward you, Lord. And as we go from here, let it happen that, Lord, we would take a challenge and we would lift our hand and say, Lord, here I am. Send me for the cause you have in this world. I'm ready. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.